couple of years ago, there was a study that was done that showed that the happiest nation in the world was Denmark. We ranked number 13 on the happy meter. It said that one of the reasons that Denmark might be the happiest is because they are encouraged to ride their bikes everywhere. I mean, who doesn't like to ride a bike? It makes us happy. The happiest city in our nation is Naples, Florida. I'm sure the ocean and the white sandy beaches has something to do with that happiness. The most unhappy city in our nation, the city with the Statue of Liberty, the city with Broadway, and the Empire State Building, the Big Apple, New York, is said to have been the most unhappiest of cities in the nation. Some of the things that perhaps fall into why there's unhappiness is that wages haven't kept up with the point of increase in our need for more money. And that in our country, we are obsessed by gadgets. And another thing we don't do is we don't take a siesta. We don't take a nap. I mean, I feel better after a nap. I mean, who does it? No naps tonight, though, please. You know, so where does this unhappiness, where does our inability to smile and laugh take us? It leaves us feeling lonely, leaves us feeling angry, leaves us depressed, leaves us with addiction, and it leaves us with incredible amounts of violence, which certainly we see. You know, so the question becomes, you know, what do we do? What do we do to raise our level and our ability to be happy? Happier as a people. Our ability to laugh a little and smile a little and just have a good time. How do we do that? In his book, Resisting Happiness, Matthew Kelly, and there are some of these books available for you in the back of the church tonight, Matthew Kelly tells a story about happiness and how he came to see that he himself was unhappy, and what he did about it. The story goes that he was in high school, and he was at a, he grew up in Australia, was at a barbecue. And at the barbecue was a family friend, somebody that was 15 years his senior. And his friend, the family friend, was also a doctor. And so the doctor was asking Matthew several questions about his life and was saying to Matthew, you know, how you doing? Fine. How's school? Fine. I hear you made the varsity soccer team. Yep. Going absolutely nowhere with the conversation. And as the conversation continued, the doctor, being a good doctor that he was, asked just enough questions to be able to diagnose Matthew. And what he said to Matthew, he looked Matthew straight in the eye and he said, Matthew, you're not happy, are you? And Matthew knew that he'd been had. He knew that he'd been caught. And so Matthew said, no, I'm not happy. And he began to disclose to his family friend and to the doctor some of the reasons why he was unhappy. And the doctor, being the good doctor that he was, gave him a prescription to get happy. And his prescription for happiness came in this. He said, what you need to do, he knew that Matthew walked to school every day, and he knew the church was on the way to school. And he said, what you need to do is every day you need to stop by church for 10 minutes. Go in church, sit down, and just sit in God's presence, and you'll be happy. And Matthew's thinking under his breath, you know, this man is a religious fanatic. He is a religious freak. There's no way I'm going to do that. And what is 10 minutes sitting in church going to do to my life? How is that going to change me? How's that going to make me happy? And so, you know, the conversation went along, the barbecue ended, and he went back to his life. went back and things were busier than they'd ever been in his entire existence as a young teenager. He had poured himself into schoolwork. He poured himself into athletics. He was busier than he'd ever been in his life. And 6 weeks later, he realized how unhappy he really was. And he remembered what his friend had encouraged him to do. And so the next morning, as he's on his way to school, he went up to the church doors. Opened the church doors, they were open, and he walked in. He said it was the most eeriest place he'd ever been in his life as an individual. He said the floor creaked. I sat down in the pew, it creaked. He said, and I sat there and I wasn't sure what to do. He said, you know, I could pray an Our Father, I could pray a Glory Be, I could pray a Hail Mary, but I didn't know what to do. And so he said, I just sat there. And he said, after a while of just sitting there, I come to realize that I was beginning to plan my day and think about what was happening. And he realized as well that he started feeling a little easement. And he realized too that he started to sense that there was something greater and something much more. And so for 2 weeks straight, he did that. 2 weeks straight, he went to church. And he sat there for 10 minutes, just sat there. And he said, you know, that was the happiest point that he thought that he'd ever found in his life. That he found a strength and an ability that he never had known before. And that other people as well started realizing, Matthew, you're happy. You know, something's changed about you. You know, this week I want to continue in our preaching series that I began last week, Miracle Grow, G-R-O-W, growing something greater. Last week I mentioned, you know, Miracle Grow, that when we use Miracle Grow on fruits and vegetables, on our gardens and our yards, when we use this fertilize, it grows. And something much, much greater grows out of it. I encouraged this last week that if we wanted to grow in God, we had to grow in love. From John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave us His only Son. And that God said, I have brought you my only Son that you might not be condemned, but you might live. And I encouraged us not to condemn, but to love. And to grow that miracle of love. What I want to encourage us to do this week is to grow the miracle of the Eucharist. The miracle of Jesus Christ. The miracle of His body and blood in our life. For that's what we believe and that's what we hold as a church. That when the body, that when bread and wine are brought forward, that it becomes for us the very substance of Jesus. Body, soul, and divinity for us. You know, there's a point in my life where I went into church and I was changed. My grandmother, Shadler, used to babysit for us. And she used to babysit my older brother, Marion, and I. And so one day, grandmother's babysitting us, and Marion and I got into an argument, a fight. And I guess we said a few dirty words to one another. Probably dang it, or darn you, or something just incredible like that, you know? Well, grandmother, she had enough of it. She lived a block from the church in Curdsville, a block from St. Elizabeth. And grandmother took both of us by the hand and walked us down Main Street of Curdsville. I'm sure we looked like a parade going by, you know. But we walked us right down the street in Curdsville, right to the church, right into church. She brought us right up the center aisle and set us right in the front pew. And she said to us, she said, very quietly and very holy, I want you just to talk to Jesus. And you just tell Jesus what's on your heart. And you tell Jesus what's on your mind. And you tell Jesus what you did to your brother. And you tell Jesus that you're sorry that you did that to your brother. And we sat there. You know, I've never forgot that. Never forgot, you know, that wisdom and that strength of coming to church and talking to Jesus. Jesus is here. Jesus is present in our church. He's present in us. The church teaches us that Jesus is present three ways to us as a people. He's present in us as a people from our baptism. He's present in the Word, the Scripture that we hear. And He's present in the Eucharist, that we receive and that we reverence. You know, that's why when we, because Jesus is present in our church, that's why when we come into church, we genuflect at our pew and we still make the sign of the cross out of reverence to what Jesus Christ is for us. That's why when we come up to receive the Eucharist, that we raise our hand or we place our tongue out and we bow prior to receiving, because we believe that He is the King. You know, before we receive the precious blood, you know, we bow in presence to, again, Jesus Christ the King. Jesus Christ is present. The Eucharistic narrative that we just heard from John 16 says that Jesus said, "I am the living bread. And if you receive me, you will believe in me and you will have eternal life. And you'll have it to the full." If you're looking for happiness in your life, if you're looking for some joy and for some contentment, I want to encourage you to grow in the miracle of the Eucharist. Grow in the miracle of Jesus and believing in the power of Jesus Christ. Grow in faith in Jesus. Maybe we can't understand fully Jesus, but we can grow in faith and grow in His love for us. The way I want to encourage us to grow in happiness is maybe stop by church. Stop by church. Spend a few minutes in church. 10 minutes. You know, come by at lunch. Come by in the morning. Come by on your way home from work. Come by as you're out running an errand. You know, there are 7 Catholic churches in Owensboro. I bet there's one that's pretty close to you. There are 17 in our county. I bet, again, there's a church that's probably not too far from you. That if you stopped in and you spent some time with Jesus there, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about what you're going to do. Just sit there. Sitting in the presence of Jesus is like sitting in the sun. Just sitting there will change you. Just sitting in God's presence will change us. And how much more happy could we be than being with Jesus? Just sitting in God's presence and letting Jesus Christ be the living bread that brings us to eternal life.